Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What is up? Good Friday. What
not,
you doing?
Not for long.
Why?
Not when the Snowmageddon comes for us.
Oh, yeah.
The apocalypse is coming.
I know. I was at the store.
I tried to go to the store today, and I punted. I just walked in and was like, nope. Turned around, came back out.
Yeah, it's crazy out there.
Yeah. I just thought, because I don't have a kitchen right now, because we're doing some remodeling, so I don't have a sink.
You cook up stuff in the toilet?
Yeah, you got like the microwave, but there's no really ways to do dishes, so it's very like minimal right now. It's like Hot Pockets and like party pizzas, right? I got an oven again.
But I love party pizzas.
Yeah, who doesn't? Totino's, they're freaking delicious. Then we're just eating out a bunch. So I thought...
Did you get the stuffed crust?
Totino's? Totino's doesn't have stuffed
crust. Don't they have
crust.
The cheese stuffed crust?
No, you're thinking of DiGiorno.
DiGiorno.
Yeah.
Right.
See, DiGiorno is like a higher end. Totino's is like the bastard like 99 cent pizzas. But I'll tell you what... I'll take a Totino's over like a Little Caesars any day of the week. And it's like the perfect like individual size. It's the perfect amount of pizza for like a bastard munchy sort of snack. Joe knows what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, they even got one with like fennel sausage on it. They're to die for. They're wonderful.
And seriously, like regular price are like $1.37 and then like on sale and they're always on sale.
Yeah, get that club card price. You're paying a buck for those.
Yeah, 99 cents.
I love that. Now, Joe Fisher, everybody.
Yes.
Joe is in for the great Mike Lynch, who is off today. I'm not sure why.
Is it a Jewish thing? Do we know?
I called him, and he did answer about something work-related, so it can't be that important.
I feel like it's something involving his Yarmakula. I don't know.
No, he's... This is one of the great primetime drops.
Hashtag never forget. You better believe I clicked on the ad, and it is... Yarmakula.com.
That's how you spell Yarmakula.
And that's what we were talking about, like how your phone is listening to you. We were talking about Mike and his Jewishness. We started talking about yarmulkes. Next thing I know,
super Jew.
On my computer pops up an ad for discount. Well, no. High end yarmulkes at discount prices.
How many people would misspell yarmulke though? I mean, that's one of the harder words to spell, if that's true.
I don't think I had ever seen yarmulke spelled out. So when I looked at the address of it, I was like, what the hell is that? And then I found out, oh, yeah, that's yarmulke.
And why does it have to be spelled that way?
I don't know.
I mean, why wouldn't it be like Yakima?
I can't complain because my last name is Sukanic, and it starts with S-C.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's hard to fight. And there's an S-C-U at the start of it. That's like the worthless spelling of all worthless spellings.
Well, you don't want to fight it. It's no, like, you know, you've got other battles.
Yeah, he's roll with it.
But yarmulke is really spelled Y-A-R-A-M-U-L-K-E.
Yes, that is correct.
What?
Yeah, that's what he's saying on it.
I'm like, I looked at it, and it didn't dawn on me because it was an ad, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm getting ads for discount, you know, like Jewish supplies, and I clicked on it, and it wasn't just yarmulkes they were selling. It was a Jewish supply store, and so when I looked at the headline, I was like, I don't know, maybe it's something in Hebrew. I don't know what this is. I'm like, yarmulke, and then I was like, ah, damn it.
I have just...
The moment Mike said that... I was like, son of a gun.
I just noticed something, though.
What do you got?
This might make you happy. That because you don't have the drop board over there.
No.
So when you're listening to our show and you get drops, a lot of them are me and a lot of them are Mike. It's just,
yeah, it's between you two. I don't have, I don't have the ability,
which is good.
Yeah.
They don't
trust me.
Yeah. That would be bad. Mike misspelled it on the drop.
Did he really?
Yeah. It's he spelled it YARAMKULE and that is incorrect.
Suck it, Mike. You don't know how
Although
to spell
that may
it.
Be a secret Jewish spelling. I don't know.
No one knows how to spell yarmulke.
I know. I never knew how hard of a word that was to spell until I learned it from you on yarmakula.com.
My mistakes benefit all of us. A rising tide raises all ships.
So good. Okay, here's what I wanted to tell you. Oh, did you have a...
Oh, my point
I've got
was,
a little something about Joe here in a moment.
I went into the store and I was just going to buy a couple things in case it got bad. I walked in and like I should have known because the parking lot was insane and I had to park like across the street and I walked in. I took one look at what was going down at the Fred Meyer and turned around and left. Didn't even make an attempt. I'm like, nope, I don't have time for this. I'm not dealing with it. I'm going to bet that Snowmageddon isn't nearly as bad as they say it is. And I just went home.
Well, again, we've talked about this a jillion times, but, snow is not the problem. It's ice. And so hopefully it just stays cold enough that it's just snow. Like you get in, Colorado
as
or whatever, you'd be
to
fine.
Melt, freeze.
That's right. That gets ugly. But what do you think is the most common thing purchased? Like what are they out of right now?
I'm guessing
because people are stocking up.
When I went to Safeway this morning, there was only one more gallon of drinkable water. Like, you know, just how they come in like the milk cartons, almost those big old gallon things.
They think their pipes are going to freeze.
Yeah. So there was only one of those left on that shelf for the drinking water.
So that, and I saw that a lot of like...
it's almost like they're going into like a shelter.
I know.
The big water.
Soup is gone, right?
Non-ocean water.
The soup aisles are raided. And then any sort of like the prepackaged like meat, steaks, burgers.
Right.
Like the and
beer.
And my sister who works at Fred Meyer, she said the produce department is basically meat and produce is pit clean. Like there's not one banana. There's no melons. There's no berries. All that stuff's gone. And she said the meat department is like... only the sketchy cuts of meat, you know, you're like, I don't know what that 50% is.
50% off turning green kind of meat.
It's like something that you would put in some sort of stew, nothing that you're going to grill. And she said that those have been hit the hardest.
Hmm. So Jolton Joe Fisher in for Mike today. He threw out a tweet that I happened to see as I was preparing diligently for our broadcast today.
Yes. The award-winning show prep that Isaac Robb is known for.
It's, there aren't a lot of people that know how it's done.
Yeah.
But it is award-winning.
Yeah. You don't want to know how the sausage is made. Just enjoy the delicious bite.
Right. Well put. And he writes on the tweets, dude, because he's a bro.
Yeah. And he is a full-on dude bro.
He writes.
Hat bro. Backwards, by the way, right now.
Oh, totes, bro.
Yeah. Snap. Snap like starter lid back.
Groupon is the tease.
I know what he's talking about because we talked about his Groupons.
Oh, you already talked about this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Me and Joe off the air, we discussed his Grouponing.
I was on a Groupon high.
Well, you want to talk about that with Sook because Sook's a big time like money saver. Like he's the king of like saving money.
I like that he's dropping they're the T's though.
Yeah,
did
tees.
He spell it out or did he just call it the T's?
He spelled it out. He doesn't care.
No.
He gets zero F's.
The sugar T's, as Mel Gibson likes to say.
For my Maui trip, I booked a 2.5-hour, 3-course meal dinner cruise and will be booking a 4-hour snorkeling trip to Molokini Crater. With using gift cards, I'm only paying like $60-something of my own money on it. 96 more days.
Hey,
Joe Fisher. That's a good buy.
That is a good buy.
It's balling on a budget, as the kids say.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
I think, aren't we all? I mean, unless you're rich.
Yeah,
come on. I mean, you're always balling on a budget.
Yeah, for the most part.
Now, what I wanted to tweet back to you was make sure you read up on timeshare pitches because that almost sounds too good to be true.
One of those, huh?
You think?
Well, I mean, but if it's a Groupon, right? That's
I did my research.
Yeah, Joe's, I think he's all right.
Yeah.
As long as it's not.
So you don't think there's any other catch to this?
No. No, I mean, they're both separate Groupons, the snorkeling and the dinner cruise. So they're two separate things. And yeah, I've read the fine print. I'm pretty confident I'm going with something that I you know, feel comfortable with. Reviews were good for both of them. So, yeah, I think I do a pretty good job of spotting out the scams and stuff like that, the snake oil salesman on Groupon and the internet. So
I've never used Groupon.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever used Groupon either.
It's great.
I'm not fully familiar with.
What is it?
I think it's just a place online where you buy discounted, like, tickets to
goods
stuff, right?
And services. I mean, you can get tangible things or deals on, you know, things to do as far as like on vacation or for a restaurant. I mean,
whatever. So they have a deal with the merchant and they just offer discounted deals to you.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all it is. It's like how we do perks. You know, have you ever been to portlandperks.com?
Yeah, same sort of thing.
That's right? That's our bit. A good deal. I mean, you can get good deals on there.
Yeah. I've gotten the train to Christmastown. Got a screaming deal on Christmas.
You went on the train to Christmastown?
two Christmases ago. I did not go this year, but
Was it magical?
Yeah, the lukewarm hot chocolate. Oh, I shouldn't be saying anything bad. It was great.
Joe crapping all over the train to Christmastown.
It was fantastic. Great
the
time.
Hell, Joe.
Okay, well.
Yeah, Groupon's great. You should try it, definitely.
RJ's in. If you don't mind looking like a total tourist, follow Joe's lead. It is. Shame that it's become like an embarrassment for you to pull out a Groupon, right? I feel like Groupon.
I don't think it's embarrassing. I just think I read that and thought, oh man, there's a catch there. He's going to get hit with like a timeshare pitch.
I think a lot of people, and by the way, those are awful. I think we did that once.
Yeah, and you can't get out of them.
No, you can't. It was horrific. But I do think there's a stigma where a lot of people are embarrassed to pull out Groupons and coupons. I know it's happened to me before. Like you just, especially if you're at a nice place, it's one thing if you're like a TGI McScratchies, whatever, pull out the Groupon. But if you're someplace nice, no one wants to pull out a gift card or the Groupon to it.
Very true.
Yeah. It's a little,
I do that. Yeah. Well, yeah. I won't say where, but
yeah.
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 We did that the other night and it's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. Like I apologize.
Exactly.
To her.
I mean, you don't.
She's like, you don't have real money, dude. Like, no, I don't.
I'd like to use this. It's even worse is if you've got like parts of gift cards. You're like, I don't know how much is on this, but just.
Like, right. Can I just use the last $9 on.
You just slide. Look, I understand. Just here. It's a bit of a shame thing, but you shouldn't.
Right.
Because it's saving money.
I agree with you.
And what's wrong with that?
I think it's fascinating. You ever read about how many gift cards are left over every year? Like people.
Billions
of dollars.
Yes. And that's why companies love gift cards because they sell them.
And they don't get redeemed.
And a lot of the times they don't get redeemed.
I am I better not use that term.
You're notorious.
I am very good about using them to completion. Like, if there's like $3 or $4 left on that thing, I will keep it and I will use it.
See, I'm the other way around in that there are plenty of, I'll bet you if you went in my house right now, because I just keep them like in a, the big paper clips, right? Like the.
What?
Yeah, the paper clips, but they got the black like grabbers on them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know what those are called.
I don't know what they're like, super paper clips.
Yarmulkes?
Yarmulkes. Yeah. So I've got like just a big yarmulke there, and I put all like business cards, gift cards, anything I get, I put them in there. And I'll bet you, because I did this like in December, I was looking through them. I'll bet you I have 15 gift cards that have anywhere from like $12 to $2 on them. And I never know what to do with them. It's like I've got like a Macy's gift card with like $12 left on it. I don't shop at Macy's. And so I can't get anything at Macy's for $12. And so I just have $12 at Macy's. I have one at like IKEA. I've got one at like at a Cold Stone Creamery.
You'll use
I don't
that
even
one.
Know where a Cold Stone Creamery is.
But you'll use the IKEA one.
I guess.
You shop there.
But here's the problem. If you ever do like end up at IKEA, you never have the gift card on you.
Yeah, see, that's a you problem. You're disorganized. Yeah.
I do have a Cold Stone near my house. If you want to hand that off to me, I can take care of that.
I'll bring
that
in and slide you because I don't think there's one anywhere near me. I've had it for like 2 years.
Well, and off of Shoals Ferry, really close to my house, yeah.
Let's play the new fun game of donate gift cards to Joe.
Yes.
Please do. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to bring in like my, and none of them are good, Joe. They're all, I swear, I think they're all under 12 bucks, and you have at them.
They have these stupid websites where you can sell your gift cards and to other people. Just give them to me.
Yeah. Let's just do that. I'm just going to give all of my remainders, right? Remember when you were a kid in math? There was always that remainder you didn't know what to do with. I'm going to give all my
remainders.
I'm rounding up and giving my remainders to Joe.
You just took me back to the 80s. All right, we should get to going here. What is today's show? Let me tell you something. There was a headline today on, I want to say it was, well, I don't know if it was ESPN, but it was one of the big sports websites. No, it was USA Today. And the headline read, Super Bowl MVP shaves beard.
Yeah.
Okay, so why I'm pointing that out to you is that that was the headline today.
Yeah.
And so what that says to you is, look, there's not a lot going on.
Can I admit something?
You haven't looked at anything today?
No. I watched the video.
Wait, you clicked on the link.
I did.
Oh, my God.
And I watched it.
So he did.
It was on Ellen.
Wait, I'm not going to ask any questions because I don't care.
I did.
But do I care?
It was about 8 minutes long.
I did not. So he got it.
And I watched
it. It was on Ellen?
It was on Ellen.
Oh,
I didn't want to admit it, but satanic. I felt like for the... Look, there was nothing else. I was show prepping and there was nothing worthwhile to click on.
Something wrong.
And I was like, I got to watch something. And I watched Julian Edelman get
God.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
How is that a headline? And how are you watching that?
You're an idiot, Sue.
I don't know. This is like when I admitted that I watched like the UCLA spring football game. I'm not proud of it. Jeez, all right, but man. I did it.
Crazy. Okay. Well, the good news is
right when you said that, I was like, God damn it.
He's going there.
He's going there.
The good news is we have managed to pull out some survivors from the flames. In terms of topics and fun things to talk about today.
Little tidbits, if you will.
There's a lot of good stuff. And we are going to start with something totally off the radar. But, Jace, I want to tell you that Sunday Night Football is back. And we will start there when we return.
What is the Colorado Rockies?
it is. What time is it?
3:16.
Thank you. We got a new setup in here.
Yeah.
And it's great. Somebody came in and cleaned up.
It's like we got a platform here.
And like gave us new, what do you call them?
Like monitors.
Monitors, new computers.
Yeah. And it's on like a snazzy, like a little stand.
So they're clearly buttering us up for something that they're going to do to us. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that already.
I'm going to say.
What is Colorado Rockies?
Chances are those stands break in the next 5 minutes since they're
new.
Oh,
for sure. You know. But hey, they look nice.
Yeah.
So let's get started. Sunday Night Football is back. That's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, coming up, it's great to watch the Lakers squirm. And quite a bit of stuff is coming out about what the Pelicans did to them. With this Anthony Davis stuff.
I love spite, right?
Dude, it's fantastic.
For no other reason than just to try to screw someone else over.
So we will talk about that here on our broadcast. Also, the Blazers had a nice win last night.
Yes, they did.
Very nice win.
And the debut of the Hot Rod.
Yeah, Hot Rodney.
Hot Rodney.
And Jake Layman. You know, those two guys, man. Two bros.
Yeah, we were worried that Layman was going to be the guy that had his minutes cuts. Wrong. Fake news.
That was fake news.
Played, what, 30, 31, 32 minutes?
So we'll get to that, but Sunday Night Football is returning this Sunday. At least I think. I didn't look that closely into it.
I see. You saw this story about as thoroughly as I watched the Julian Edelman video.
Don't act like you didn't watch all 8 minutes. You were into it.
I did. I can't help it.
So did they shave it with
Clippers.
Clippers first, and then he did straight edge?
No, like Ellen just kind of did. It was kind of a hack job, so.
Why did he do that? Is it a charity thing?
I'm assuming that it was pre-set up, but she donated. What's happening here?
Oh, there's a. I'm getting. Just don't worry about it.
Oh, I was like, what are you doing?
Just don't worry about it.
Something was behind me and it made me feel uncomfortable. Like when there's a kerfuffle behind you, you get a little antsy.
Yeah, that's why you never sit with your back to the door at a restaurant.
No, it's like the mob style.
Right.
What are they? They donated like 20 grand to the Boys and Girls Club or something that he was a fan of.
And so it was for charity.
Yeah, it was for charity. So I'm assuming that they had. You know, they worked it out before, but he played it off like, oh, I don't know. And then she shaved it. And it was not a very good shave job. I mean, there was a lot of scraps left over. He's going to have to go back afterwards and clean that up. But
I just can't believe that was a headline.
Yeah.
Like that was something that they thought to put at the top of the sports news.
That's how sad it is, though, is like I looked around and after like 20 minutes, I was like, I might as well watch this. What the hell else is there? And I clicked on it and that was on ESPN.
So the Alliance of American Football begins this weekend.
Does it really?
From what I understand.
So this is the story. This is the one that Riley's coaching in.
Yes.
Right?
Now it's kind. Now stick with me on this.
All right.
I did a little digging on this.
Don't try to tell me that this is going to be decent.
Well, I have no idea what it's going to be.
Well, it's
going to
be awful.
But there are some interesting elements to it.
Okay.
Okay. So Sunday Night Football, and the reason I stumbled across this is I saw a thing on Marvin Lewis. Remember him?
Yeah.
The Bengals coach.
Yeah, he's going to the booth.
Ex-Bengals coach.
Yeah.
He is going to be on the call of the debut game this Sunday, and it's on NFL Network.
Yeah.
And it's going to be between the Salt Lake Stallions and the Arizona Hotshots.
And I hate to do this because it's not like NFL or NBA names are the most clever in the world. But whenever they have startup leagues, doesn't Stallions and Hotshots just fit perfectly? Like into the
yeah, it does.
Yeah, you know, it's just
well,
really,
it's like there it's wasn't this... enough. It sends the message that, oh my God, we have so many things we have to do to get ready, and so we just need to come up with team names real quick.
Yeah, the Salt Lake. What starts with an S? I don't know. Stallion, sure. Hey, Arizona. I don't know. They made a movie about the hot. Sure, Hotshots. And the uniforms will be gaudy and just terrible.
Oh, they're bad.
Yeah.
They're already out there. Like, now, on the Hotshots roster, that's the Arizona team.
Yeah.
Former Ducks, Josh Huff and Eric Dargan. And the Hotshots do have Ducks colors. They are a really ugly
green and yellow.
Green and yellow. Also on that roster, former Beavers, Richard Mullaney. Connor Hamlet and Obum Guachum.
Okay.
They're all in that team.
Well, look, and again, I'm not trying to throw shade at anyone, but that, I mean, like, that's what you're going to watch? Like, has anyone ever been sitting around and been like, you know what I need? I need more Josh Huff.
Well, here's the thing.
I guess, like, Huff actually played for a while in the NFL.
Yeah,
so.
A lot of these guys did. So here's the thing. It is a developmental league. Mm. That's what they're calling it. They're calling it sort of a minor leagues. It is eight teams, and according to the powers that be, it is described as NFL backup caliber talent. In other words, they believe that their rosters could compete with the twos on NFL teams.
Okay.
That remains to be seen.
By the way, no, but all right.
Yeah, likely you wouldn't think so because these guys are all,
out of the league.
The best guys are NFL flameouts.
Yes.
So they wouldn't compete with twos.
No.
But that's what they're trying to tell you. Here are the teams. Okay, so who would you bet on?
Because I just would like to point out, let me just say this, that for 2 years, I was an NFL backup, and I can assure you that I was terrible.
You'd be perfect for this league.
Yes, and
if
again.
You were still, and hey, dude.
You don't want to watch me play.
Listen to this. Okay, so what year, so you played at BYU.
Yeah.
You went to the combine.
Mm-hmm.
You got picked apart.
Yeah.
Never drafted.
No.
And practice squad.
Yeah, Denver and then in Tampa and then a couple other places for a week. But mainly Denver for the year and then Tampa for...
So how many years did you do that?
Like, what, two and a half.
And then you
two
found...
Two and like a quarter.
And then we found love.
Yes. And then I realized that that was a fast track to nowhere and maybe I should find something else to do with my time.
Right. So you said, I'm not really good enough. I need to stop this.
Yes.
And they're not paying you well enough to keep hanging on.
And it just, my body was hurting. It was miserable. It was bad.
Okay.
It was bad.
So you're an interesting case study because your body's hurt. You didn't feel good. But if this league were around, you know what the contracts are in this league?
What do you got? For how many weeks?
Well, the season starts this week and they play, I think they play 10 games. They play till the championship is April 27th.
Okay. So roughly 10 games and we'll see if it makes it that far.
Which, every player signed the same contract.
Yeah, 10 weeks, and then there's the two playoff games and then a championship. So, you know, you're at the most, you're playing, what, 13 weeks?
Okay, every player signed the same contract.
Sure.
3 years, $250,000.
Total.
Total. So that's what? What is that?
Well.
80-ish?
Yeah, give or
take. 80 and some change?
Yeah, give or take.
Per year?
Yeah.
Would you do that? Would you have done that back in... You know, back when you were like, okay, I'm probably going to hang them up. I mean, you did sniff around the,
I went and did an arena league tryout. To be honest with you, there would have to be questions. Like when I went to the arena league and was asking questions about what do you do for housing, insurance, things like that. It was an
nothing.
S show. And so I was like, yeah, no thanks.
Well, this has if you finish a year, if you make it a year,
yeah,
they give you a stipend for continuing education.
Yeah.
And there are bonuses. They do have a bonus structure. So, you know, it's, I mean, I don't know. I think you're an interesting guy in that there are a lot of guys in that limbo, maybe some better, some worse, but this makes it, at least if, basically you're saying the same thing. If there were a league that had its S together that could offer you a chance to continue to play and still pay you enough to make it worth your while, you would do it, but there hasn't been that league. No. That's where this niche is.
Okay, so here's why I think I would say no, and maybe I'm different, right? I realized that this the dream wasn't going to happen. The only reason I wanted to keep playing is I thought, all right, well, maybe if I catch a break and you play a little bit and you can get a pension or you sign one good contract and you sock it away, it can really set you up for a run, right? Pay off a house, put a little nest egg together and make a run at it like that. Once I realized that my body was not going to hold up through an NFL season, that dream went away. And when that dream went away, my desire to play football went away. And this is why I would ultimately say no. $75,000 a year, or 80 grand a year is a good job. But it's not, by the time you get done paying taxes, and that's an expensive lifestyle because chances are you've got a home where you're from and you're living in hotels, and it tends to be an expensive life.
And they make you pay for that? You don't think that the league would?
I don't know. Again, that
pay for your,
therein lies the question, what they're willing to do for you.
The devil's in the details.
Yeah, and you pay your agent. And my point is, it's an expensive life, right? It's not like you just get to save every nickel you have. And let's say you're making 80 grand. That's not enough to vault you or to even set yourself up for anything. And so to me, what I realized is what I didn't want to be was 27 years old, no real money in the bank, and my body 4 to 5 years worse than it was at the time. Because at the time, my neck was killing me, my knees hurt, both my shoulders. I hated doing this. And all I could think about was, all I'm going to do is have to start a real career 4 or 5 years from now, worse off than I am now. I need to just get started with my real life. And that's why I was like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm just going to go start a normal life. The problem is that, and I'm not trying to badmouth anyone, right? Chase the dream, right? Who am I to tell you that to stop chasing your dream? But there are so many guys that don't have a plan for after football and they can't figure anything else out to do. And they will chase that dream and chase that dream and chase that dream for as long as they can. And it's not always the best thing for you.
Okay.
And so to me, that amount of money, no, I'll pass.
That wouldn't have done it for you?
It wouldn't have done it for me.
Okay. Well, here, let's hold this over to next segment, because I want to tell you, to you listening, this might be something you want to give a shot to. And there are a couple of reasons why, and I will tell you coming up next. It is 3:29. Here is Joe.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, I have a nugget on Neil O'Shea, Blazers GM.
Bro.
And what he said yesterday, even though nobody heard what he said because he only does a state-run interview. He doesn't do like a press conference. But I have one little thing I want to talk about. And Lakers, LeBron talk. But we're talking about this football league called Alliance of American Football.
Yeah.
And the debut game is on the NFL Network this Sunday. It's also going to be on CBS Sports Network some.
Yeah.
So it'll be around.
The biggest thing that they have going for it is that they actually are on TV. They have a media deal.
They're
going
to get it to you.
And that they are not trying to compete with. They're trying to, and they're being open and honest about it. This is a minor league sort of system for the NFL.
So here are a couple things. Interesting rules. And this is one reason that would get me to watch, or at least try it, is I want to see how these look and feel. First thing is no kickoffs, no extra points.
Yeah.
They will go for two after every touchdown. If you're down by 17 or more, or there are 5 minutes or less left in the fourth quarter, you are able to try what is called an onside conversion. You get the ball at the opponent's 28-yard line, and it's 4th and 12. If you convert it, you keep the ball and try to score. If you do not convert it, the other team gets the ball where they dragged you down.
So it's just their version of an onside kick, but a little more exciting.
The most a team can rush the passer is five guys.
Okay. And so what they're trying to do there basically is say that we know that coaching is going to be limited. We know that the preparation time is going to be limited. And the quarterbacks aren't going to be the best in the world at pre-snap recognitions.
And they cited offensive lines don't really have time to gel.
No. So basically what they're going to, this is like kind of like a Pro Bowl-esque rules, is you have five offensive linemen and they want to make sure that you can only rush five so that in theory, your five can block their five.
Yeah. So no blitzes from the secondary.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned, each player signed a three-year $250,000 contract. They had a draft for the quarterbacks, but for the rest of the players, what they did was they figured out the top 30 NFL producing schools over the last 10 years. And the number one school was
Alabama.
Nope.
You said over the last 30 years,
10 years,
10 years, Ohio State, maybe.
Nope.
Gosh,
keep going.
LSU. Florida.
Nope.
USC.
USC
there you go.
Was number one. USC.
That doesn't surprise me.
It kind of does me.
It doesn't, because
I mean, they get a lot of talent.
Yeah, there hadn't been a ton of success there, but their recruiting is through the roof.
So each franchise then got three top producing in that top 30, three of those colleges, mm-hmm. to take their ex players.
Yeah.
That's how they did it. That's why you have the Ducks and the Beavers on the Arizona team, because the proximity. They want those players playing as close as they can to those colleges. Now, of course, those guys playing down in Arizona isn't great, but that and San Diego are the closest teams to Portland.
Yeah, they're trying
to Oregon.
They're trying to pull on the heartstrings of, like, if you're a, you know, I don't know, if you're an Alabama fan and there's a team in Florida and they've got a couple guys that used to play at Alabama, maybe there's an allure there to go out and do it. I mean, I think they're trying to go about it the right way. I think they're being smart about it and they're trying to be unique and different and not just piggyback off the NFL. I still think at the end of the day, the talent's going to stink and the product's going to be bad and there's not preparation for it and it's going to be sloppy, bad football.
Well, it probably will be, but there's a lot of people that want to watch football.
Yeah.
And I think that there may be enough names here that you recognize that you might watch it longer than some of these others. Now, here are the teams. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And I'll just give you the coach and quarterback, okay?
Yeah,
you don't need to get into the minutiae.
I don't need to talk about the left tackle.
Arizona, Rick Neuheisel and Trevor Knight. Do you remember him
from
A&M?
Trevor Knight, I thought he was...
Well, he's Oklahoma, but then he transferred to A&M.
And what they're always going to do at these leagues, and they always try to get a big-name coach because the coach gives it, supposedly it gives it legitimacy.
So Neuheisel and Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Salt Lake is Dennis Erickson and Garrett Grayson, who I believe is a local kid.
Yeah, I think he is too.
Atlanta is Brad Childress and Aaron Murray. Mm-hmm. Aaron Murray is the former Georgia quarterback.
And he spent some time in the NFL.
San Diego's team, I don't like this one, Mike Martz and Josh Johnson, the kid who came in for the Redskins late in the year. Memphis, Mike Singletary, and then they have a quarterback combo of Zach Mettenberger and Christian Hackenberg.
Okay. I mean, both big names. Neither one. I mean, they were flameouts, but
apparently Mettenberger won the job.
Well, he should. Like the story.
Hackenberg can't even win a job in this league.
No, the story of Hackenberg is not a pretty one there in New York.
Orlando is Steve Spurrier and Garrett Gilbert, who played at Texas.
Okay.
Birmingham is Tim Lewis, who I don't know. That's their coach. And then Blake Sims
was
Oklahoma?
Blake Sims was Alabama. I'm trying to think. He was in between McCarron and whoever came after that.
The San Antonio.
In fact, I think he was the quarterback the year that Ohio State upset them and then went on and won the national title against Oregon. I think Blake Sims was the quarterback of that team.
San Antonio Commanders is coached by Mike Riley.
Yeah.
And their quarterback is, I'm going to have to go find that.
Okay, but we got Mike Riley.
Oh, here we go. Logan Woodside. Yeah, I don't recognize any of these guys. Dustin Vaughn.
No, don't. Doesn't ring a bell.
And Marquise Williams. Anyway, that's what it is.
So all coaches that...
those are names.
Yeah, but they can't get jobs in the NFL and they can't get jobs in college anymore. Either the game has passed them by or their reputation is such where you can't get a job. And And again, this goes back to where I just think the play is going to be awful. Is it's bad quarterback play. There's not enough good quarterback play in the NFL.
Well, maybe the rules will help that. So the question is, will you give this a shot?
Oh, I suppose if it's on, I may flip it on. But
I'll check it out.
I just don't have any faith that any of these startup leagues will ever have any sort of legs, because in order to put on a product that we want, as far as football goes, it's just such an expensive endeavor. And this just ends up, and again, I don't mean to sound jaded. People can chase the dream however they want, but this is all this is people that don't have anything else to do, and they're desperately trying to hold on, by their fingernails, chasing that dream. And I'm sure there's a couple guys on there that, because of this, may get another crack at playing a couple years in the NFL, maybe even go on to actually do something in the NFL. But you're talking about three or four guys in an entire league, and the rest of it is going to be really, really poor play, way worse than what you have in the NCAA, because there's going to be no cohesiveness. There's going to be no practice time. You're going to get guys that just aren't used to playing together, and you're going to get a coaching staff that you...
Well, I'd like to point out that you did watch a man shave for 8 minutes today.
I did.
Therefore, maybe you could take 8 minutes and watch these guys. All right, pal?
Sure. Like I said.
So it's on Sunday.
If it's on, you'll flip it on. But again, there's no loyalty there. There's no...
No one's saying it's going to be great. I'm just pointing out that, it's got some interesting elements that some of these others can't.
But let me ask you this, right? So the CFL is actually a quality league. Like, there's good players in the CFL.
Probably the best outside the NFL, right?
Yeah, and it's better than the NCAA. The professional CFL teams would beat the best college football teams for the most part.
Well, I was going to say, that's a debate. We had that debate.
We had that debate.
Would Alabama beat the best CFL team?
I think the Clemsons and the Alabamas of the world have enough high-end talent that I think that maybe they get over. But the best CFL teams, I think, for the most part, kick the living hell out of 95% of the NCAA teams. They're still professionals. But my point is, the CFL is good football, and it's entertaining football, and it's quality football. Does anyone here in the United States watch it?
Well, no, but it's different rules, and is it on? I mean, yeah. I don't even know, is it on?
Yeah.
This is on more prominently than that.
But my point is, if there was...
Nobody's into the NFL, no.
If there was a need for this, people would be watching the CFL.
Yeah, like, nobody's arguing with you. I'm just trying to point out, it's, there's some names, a little bit.
I feel like people are trying to create, not that there isn't a need, but there's like, oh, people will ingest any sort of football. No, we won't. And that's been proven time and time again. And I'm not saying that you can't put together something better that people would enjoy, but the money that it's going to take to invest in that and the quality of play, it's just more. I just think these are so fly-by-night put together on spit and polish. And they're usually like, what? From the time their inception of it, it's like 8 months later, like, they're playing football. And half of these things don't even make it through an entire season.
All right, coming up next, we've got a little Olshay nugget, something he said yesterday that is quite interesting. And then let's watch the Lakers squirm, a little LeBron talk. It's 3:45 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, great win by the Blazers last night. They beat the Spurs. What ended up being, 9 points or something?
Something like that.
They were up 21, then it was tied, and then they were up 18, and they won by 9. NBA.
It is. Like, used to be 20-point leads meant something. You're down by 20 now as long as it's in the third quarter. You're like, we're in this. No big deal.
But they looked pretty good. I liked the that. So no one knew how Stotts was going to play the Rodney Hood thing.
Yeah, and we thought that maybe Lehman would be kind of the guy that got some of his minutes slashed. But some of their best lineups were when those two were on the floor together.
Well, I didn't think Lehman would get his minutes slashed. I thought Harkless would, and I thought certainly Zach Collins would, and that's probably the way it's going to play out because Lehman's playing too well. You can't bench him now. But that last group, you know, they rolled out there Lillard and McCollum and Nurkic, and then with Hood and Lehman, that was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And that sealed the game. So I look forward to watching that more as we move forward here. That will be interesting because it certainly gives the Blazers a better chance because those two guys can knock down shots. Now, the question is, do you think that if Dame and CJ are taken out of a playoff series, can Lehman and Hood win you a playoff series? Not sure about that, but it certainly is better than them chucking, passing out of double teams to freaking Aminu and Harkless and them throwing up bricks.
Yeah. And Nurkic had another nice night, chipping in 22, something like that.
He's playing great.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that was what Barkley was saying. You know, he said, what, outside of the Golden State, there's really not a dangerous team in the West. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. And he said he really liked, you know, Portland. And he thought, you know, if Rodney Hood can give you a little something, that maybe Portland is a team in the West that can make some noise. Not because Portland's great, because there isn't anyone else outside of Golden State that worries him in the West.
Well, let's slow down on that after one game. And I think sometimes those guys too, like Shaq said, oh, I love this Nurk guy. I swear to God, those guys
don't watch.
They just don't watch. And they see them one game because they're on TNT and the Blazers score almost 70 and a half. And they're like, oh, wow, these guys are really good.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between the regular season and the postseason. But we can debate all that later. I wanted to turn your attention to GM Bro's commentary yesterday.
Okay.
Bro.
Now, he only went on state-run news.
Yes.
Which that's his new thing. He'll just go on with Dwight Janes, and then just that's disseminate it. his truth.
Yeah.
And tell you all these things, and that's it. So I didn't hear what he said to Dwight Janes, but there are clips and quotes on Twitter, and I follow Eric Gunderson,
mm-hmm.
and he is he's part of Blazers Twitter. I don't necessarily know who exactly he works for. Oh, it says LeBron, editor at LeBron Wire.
He used to be at Columbian.
Yeah, he was a Columbian. That's how I, you know of his stuff. But so anyway, these guys bounce around a little bit. But he's a writer, and he of course is here and covers the Blazers. He quoted Neil Olshey, and it says Paul Allen would get attached to guys we drafted, and then be more reluctant to include them in packages. That was what Olshey said as part of his dissemination yesterday. And Garcia wrote, just wanted to clarify that this was in reference to past trade deadlines, but I'm still stunned Neil went with blame the dead guy. How great is that tweet?
I did see that tweet.
He blamed the dead guy.
Yeah. Man.
Fascinating.
Can't defend himself,
right? And uncomfortable. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, Paul basically held me back, and now that he's gone.
Well, he did say, because he also went on to say how great Jody Allen has been, because he said that they were looking at some monster deals that would have meant huge dollars. I believe the term he used in the figures was astronomical, and he said that Jody didn't blink. So he made sure to throw some love towards Jody Allen.
But still, man, to really say that about Paul Allen shortly after he's passed,
it's a little weird.
Dude, that's really weird. It also, I think, shows you how much he is desperate to spin things. Like, he really, really needs you to know that he had handcuffs.
Yeah, there were other forces.
Other forces.
Play.
Yeah, and to say that about Paul Allen.
But there were no forces at play this time.
He started the interview too. He's like, you know, Paul, God rest his soul. And then he went into all this. And it's like, oh, right away diving into it.
Dude, that's fascinating.
It is.
Holy crap.
Now, the tone wasn't like all that terrible. But again, like, just say like, Paul.
Just the
Paul,
quote, just to say
Paul,
that.
Pulling that card.
Yeah.
I always listen to those when he speaks. I listen to the clips, and nothing he says is accidental.
Bifurcate.
He is very polished. He's very good at putting his spin on things, and everything he says, there is a purpose behind it, which is why I thought it was interesting that he really went out of his way to say, hey, we tried to do some big things and Jody Allen was on board. He has managed to figure out a way to navigate, whether it was Paul, whether it was Burke Cold, and now Jody Allen. He's really good at getting inside people's ears and making them believe his version of the truth.
I have a little some. Oh, I just wanted to point that out, that he said that. I just think that's really, really odd and almost uncomfortable. But anyway, whatever. This is a tease for next week on our show, because we'll be here again next week.
We hope.
Well, yeah, we may not.
Well, Snowmageddon, right? I mean, you get 14 inches. What the hell are we supposed to
do? Just never come back to the studio? Nah,
that's what she said. I went and dug up the old Jody Allen news.
Oh, yeah, the lawsuit.
We need to revisit this, because a lot of people, we talked about this years ago, but, oh, look at that. Did you notice on our new phones, the name of the person calling in pops on to the screen?
No.
So Kevin, who's calling in to KFXX right now.
What's up, Kevin?
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Kev.
Joe will be with you in a moment.
I don't have a phone in front of me, so I...
Yeah, they don't give you anything, it's by design.
I just sit over here. Mind my own business.
So I went and researched again, because we were talking to somebody yesterday about Jody Allen, the Blazers technically new owner, because Paul Allen passed away, and this is his sister. She has quite a story that I'm not sure a lot of people know. And you and I discussed this many moons ago, because it's been 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But boy, did we have fun with this story on the air. Well, we need to revisit that, because I don't think a lot of people know it. And it's insane.
Yeah, because most of the time when the Allens were involved in the Vulcans, there's always non-disclosures. And so whatever goes on, it just kind of stays very quiet and very hush-hush. We happen to know someone that worked there. Our old boss worked for him for a while and had some interesting stories, but nothing that you can, again, really go public with. But there was a lawsuit involving one of Jody Allen's like security guards, bodyguards, whatever you want to call it. And so some of the details came out in the allegations, because he was one of the guys that didn't want to settle. He wanted to take this and actually pursue the lawsuit. And some of the stuff was fantastic.
Dude, it's so good. So next week we'll get to it. And it's stuff you won't believe. You really won't. You won't believe it.
I believe
about Jody.
Yeah, it's good. It involves animal bones and ex like Navy SEALs and Speedos and hot tubs and all kinds of good stuff.
Think this.
Marcus, darling, I don't have any panties on.
Well, what good is it to be a billionaire if you can't abuse your power a little bit?
Yeah, right. All right, so that's next week.
Think about what you'd be like if you were worth billions of dollars.
You wouldn't know me. You wouldn't even see me. I'd be a ghost. Lakers, LeBron, next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.